congratulations on winning this award. It's a pleasure to have you in the studio. Thank you very much for coming here today. The SES Performance Appraisal System is what you have been recognized for this award for. Talk about the genesis of that, why you and your colleagues at OPM thought it was necessary, how you started to lay out the parameters for doing it, and then standing it up in the period of time in which you did.
Well, Francis and Mike, thank you very much for the award and for recognizing what was a phenomenal government-wide effort. The effort really started in about the beginning of 2011. And at the time, the President's Management Council was focusing on a couple of initiatives to invigorate the senior executive service. One of those initiatives centered around performance management, specifically of the senior executive service members. As we pursued this initiative, OPM and OMB coordinated an interagency effort comprised of representatives from various departments and agencies across the federal government. Through that work group, an idea emerged that we could design a standard SES performance appraisal system that would basically bring consistency and equity, standardization, best practices, and allow agencies to collaborate and share best practices and information on improving and enhancing the performance management of senior executive service members. This was a helpful initiative because the initiative furthered the overarching goal of better government, improving the efficiency, the economical operation, and the accountability of the federal government's work. The initiative also was tremendous in that we have basically what is a human resources operation across the federal government where much of the operation for transactional services and operations are delegated down to federal agencies. So with respect to SES performance, every single agency and department has the authority to design their own performance appraisal systems, including for SES performance management. So prior to this initiative, we had probably over 80 different departments and agencies and offices of inspector generals who had their own SES performance appraisal systems. They all had their different needs, interests, cultures, philosophies, approaches, challenges to performance management. At OPM, we certainly respect the need and the expertise of each agency to design their own systems for human capital management, including in performance management. But here we identified a unique opportunity to really bring some efficiencies, leverage economies of scale, and really enhance the overall operation of SES performance management. And this initiative was further important and useful because it ultimately promoted the original intent of Congress in creating the senior executive service back in 1978 through this Civil Service Reform Act, and that was to create a government-wide cadre of senior executive leaders that could provide executive leadership anywhere throughout the federal government based upon need.
Steve, wasn't the idea behind that, or one of the ideas behind that, is mobility, people going from agency to agency and getting experience, not only in a different agency, but maybe in a different geographical location?
So there's been a lot of emphasis on mobility. And again, the idea of a government-wide cadre is that you have executives that can move throughout the federal government to provide leadership, which is why they're selected and appointed in the first place. And if we do a good job of developing people and selecting them and appointing them to the senior leadership cadre, then they can move throughout the federal government. The senior executive service performance appraisal systems in the past have not necessarily helped this mobility aspect. To the extent that every single agency has its own different system, they're sort of communicating and developing performance requirements differently and holding executives accountable in a different manner, albeit a good manner, but in a different manner, that doesn't always foster sort of the transfer of resources and personnel across the federal government.
I imagine what you had some of what you might call technical evaluation creep too, where you had the whole point of the SES is leadership, as you've mentioned, but in government many times people are elevated because of their technical expertise. And I imagine it would be easy for an agency to fall into that habit when it came to evaluating SES performance too.
I think that's exactly correct. Not only in evaluating SES performance, but even in the original selection of FCS members, agencies may have a specific technical need within their organization. And so when they go out and recruit an executive, they may be focused on that technical need. But the idea of the SES, again, is that it's centered on leadership. And it's that leadership that's the key to mobility, making any type of executive in any agency arguably appropriate to move into another position in another agency, even across a line of business. So the SES performance appraisal system, to your point, does really focus an emphasis on leadership while also maintaining an emphasis on results as well. And this is another strategy that we can employ to really foster the original intent of the SES to bring in the highest level of leaders into the federal government.
Well, I've heard from people that the IRS, the Justice Department, particularly the FBI, and to a lesser extent, defense, are the best when it comes to that sort of mobility and moving people around. But in most cases, it's still within the IRS or within justice or within defense. So could this change that, this more uniform standard?
I think historically, senior executive service members have been homegrown. So they've been selected within their agencies. They started off in their agencies, they progressed in their agencies and developed through their agencies and then advanced through their ranks. With a new standard SES performance appraisal system across the federal government, there is basically a common framework to evaluate and communicate performance requirements on all SES members. So that's something that can foster then a government-wide cadre, which will enable one agency to look at the performance appraisal of a senior executive service member and the approach that that agency, that employing agency, took to evaluating the performance of the SES, and then be able to see commonality and see applicability in a new agency. And that will foster the ability for that executive to then cross into another agency, into another field of work.
And I just say one almost a personal note here. It's been a treat doing these interviews with the award winners. It's immodest of me to say it, but I love it. But when I saw Steve's name on the list of nominees, I had to recuse myself because I've known him for years and know he does a great job, but I didn't think it would be fair. But obviously the other judges saw something there. So, Steve, I'm delighted that you got it, and congratulations.
Thank you so much, Mike. Really appreciate it.
Performance appraisals have been a sticky wicket for agencies for a long time, and we've seen any number of them come and go. Talk about the stakeholders that you brought together in this to make sure that this one stuck this time, that you didn't put all this work into something that somebody 6 months or 2 years from now said, well, we don't think this is going to work out after all.
This initiative was a huge challenge because of the overarching goal of the initiative, and that was to design a new SES performance appraisal system that would be applicable to all SES members in every single federal agency and also in offices of inspectors general. We wanted to build a framework that provided consistency in performance management at this level, but also, again, honoring the need for appropriate flexibility and the expertise for each agency to meet their varied needs in managing their senior executives. It was difficult because at the very beginning, I realized the design process had to be fully open to a diverse and inclusive participation from all agencies and stakeholders. We needed to ensure that each agency's needs would be identified and considered at the outset, and that was also important to really be able to gain buy-in from these agencies. This type of large-scale effort involving just a multitude of organizations, individuals, interests, and different philosophies doesn't lend itself readily to efficient consensus-based coordination. So I indicated that the effort began with the PMC, the President's Management Council. They provided a lot of high-level support, a lot of expertise, and a lot of resources. We also had the support of the President's Management Advisory Board, and that is a body of private sector chief executive officers that have been appointed by the President to inform the government on better government, basically. We had diverse and full participation from large departments, medium-sized agencies, small agencies, offices of inspectors general. We had tremendous partnering and support from organizations such as the Senior Executives Association, such as the Partnership for Public Service, NAPA. And what we tried to do was we tried to move this initiative forward very efficiently in a very compressed time frame. I've never seen an initiative like this take place and basically conclude in 10 weeks with a focus on consensus. Phenomenal. And at every stage of this process, we tried to make sure that we made it transparent and open and involved all of these different stakeholders. OMB provided us tremendous support. And ultimately, this was a collective effort, and I believe that it will succeed because of the collaboration and the coordination across the entire federal government.
Steve Shee of OPM is one of the winners of the 2012 CAUSI Awards, and my guest. you talked about flexibility. I wonder how much resistance you ran into when you went to the agencies and said, we're going to devise this system and it's going to replace what you're doing now. I imagine most agencies, at least the gut response would be, well, we like what we're doing fine just now. People are always hesitant to change just for the sake of change.
That's exactly right. So any type of change management effort is challenging because when people and organizations are doing things a certain way, they've invested a lot of time, a lot of capital, a lot of expertise, and they know best what best meets the needs of their organization. The key then to this type of an initiative succeeding is, again, to let everybody in so that all views and issues and concerns and needs are expressed, they're heard, and they're incorporated in the design of the new system. What made this initiative possible across the entire federal government? The fact that, again, the SES is intended to be a corporate cadre of senior leaders. It's a government-wide resource, not just an agency-specific resource. Again, these leaders are selected and they're managed because of their leadership. Because of that dynamic, at OPM, we've developed 5 executive core qualifications for senior executive service members: leading people, leading change, results-driven, business acumen, building coalitions. These are the factors upon which we look at in terms of approving the appointments of new SES members into the federal government. And that was also then the foundation and the basis for the new SES performance appraisal system. If these are the qualifications that we believe are critical for executives to demonstrate in order to come into the SES, then ought they not also be the areas that we focus on performance management in the continuing work and development of these executives across the federal government? So the 5 ECQs provided the foundation. It covered anything that any executive in every single agency in any type of business line would be expected to do and could be evaluated upon. And so it's that common framework that then added applicability and value across the entire federal government. And that was the key to the agencies then saying, yes, I can see how this new system will apply to what I do, probably won't even disrupt what I do so much. It's just a matter of sort of approaching it from a different perspective, and it offers value to me.
And it sounds like then the agency within those 5 guidelines can set the parameters for how they judge those 5 elements, however is appropriate, applicable to their agency. Is that fair to say?
That's exactly right. So we recognize that executives in different business lines and different agencies are going to have different performance goals, different performance requirements. And these have to also align to the organizational goals of their agency, their mission, their specific environment. And so agencies have the discretion then to take a framework and then to fill in that framework and be able to either add additional performance requirements or add more specificity. But it's all consistent in the way that we then approach SES performance management.
Now, you talked about the fact that one of the reasons that you were successful in achieving this consensus is that you let everybody in, is the term that you used. I imagine one of the problems in consensus building is that you've let everybody in. And so everybody brings a different perspective and different experience. They also bring their own opinion about what it should look like. And you have the potential to walk away where everybody's satisfied but not excited. How did you get past that to get to a product that people came away from this with the consensus that you achieved and also saying, this is going to work for us and we're on board with this?
We had a kickoff meeting in OPM on July 22nd of 2011. And at the time, we had participants and representatives from departments and agencies across the federal government. I asked for volunteers for a design work group, expecting and communicating an expectation that I would secure 5 volunteers. Every single hand in the room shot up. So that signaled to me that there was tremendous interest in this project, but also a level of uncertainty and anxiety in terms of the purpose of the project and ultimately the value of the project. So I had a 5-second calculation in my head on whether we limit the participation or we let everybody in. And I immediately realized that if we did not allow this to be fully inclusive, that we would never get the buy-in or the applicability of the entire system. So we let everybody in. Now, the key to this effort working ultimately, especially in a 10-week time frame, was the fact that the participants – it started with my team members. I'm blessed with an amazing staff of professionals who really, really have great pride in helping support the success of the federal government. They did a tremendous amount of work. We had key support from OMB, And then the participants in this work group, in this entire process, had a continued selfless and big picture focus on the greater good of the federal government, not just specific individual needs or even the needs of their agencies. And because of that big picture focus and really incredible selfless and commendable focus on collaboration and coordination, we were able to get it done.
Steve Shee of the Office of Personnel Management is one of our 2012 COSI Award winners and my guest. The timeline is the other thing I want to touch on this. One of the perceptions of the federal government is that it takes forever to get anything done. You've achieved something substantial that people have been trying to do for years, and you've mentioned the 10-week turnaround time on a number of occasions. What's the secret there, and is the secret that you had there applicable to other types of project management in the federal government?
I think this effort is a wonderful case study on interagency coordination across the federal government, irrespective of what particular project is involved or what business line is involved. I think the key here is that we had a window of opportunity, starting with support from my boss, OPM Director John Barry, who green-lighted the effort. He really saw an opportunity here and a value. We had support from the White House, from OMB. People understood that we had an opportunity here to do something, to really create some efficiencies and enhance the operations of the federal government at the very highest levels. And then again, we brought together stakeholders and people who just had an incredible selfless focus on the greater good of the entire federal government. It was that spirit and that continued focus that got us through a lot of philosophical debate and disagreements, and ultimately realizing a product that wasn't about a compromise, but it really was about the incorporation of best practices, both private sector and public sector, and focused on enhancing how we do business in the federal government.
But not every operation in the federal government will have someone with Director Barry's passion, and not every organization or operation will have people who feel it in the fiber of their bones, as it sounds like your team did.
I think the key is leadership, and that's what we were trying to really accomplish and to support in this initiative as well. And so if we bring in good leaders and we do a good job of empowering them and managing their performance and giving them support, then they will accomplish amazing things. We are, quite frankly, in an environment now constrained by resources, and we are in a global environment where issues are no longer even regional. They're international in scope, and they require great coordination and collaboration amongst different federal agencies and with our state and local partners and even with our international partners to get things done. Our issues are very complex. They deal with a lot of crises that we have to manage constantly. They are very reactive. They occur quickly. Again, we don't have tremendous resources to deal with them. So all of these factors really push for the critical importance for continued effective leadership and leadership that involves collaboration across agencies, across the nation and across the world.
Steve, congratulations on this award. I appreciate you coming in to talk about it today. It's a pleasure to talk to you and hear a good success story about the federal government.
Francis, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate Mike recognizing this effort and really supporting the good of the federal government through this award. And I'm really happy that this award ultimately recognizes the contributions and great work of a tremendous number of people and organizations across the federal government.